Hello, listeners, and welcome to Spotlight on KPCRadio.com. My name's Travis Vail, and I'll be your host today. I'd like to welcome in as guests David Caldwell, Dick Woody, and Lisa DeVeerd, who are all relevant parties in Wait Until Dark, which is a group rep presentation. Welcome to the show, you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is a question for David. Go ahead and explain the plot to the best of your ability at this point.
You don't want me to tell the story, do you really?
A little bit.
Well, this is a suspense thriller that was written by Frederick Knott back in the late 60s. And it revolves around a drug doll, a doll that has been filled with heroin and taken across the border and has gone missing. And some con artists know who had it last, and they come to the home of that person to try to con his wife out of the doll. But the doll is legitimately gone missing, and so they concoct a very convoluted plot to con her into finding the doll and turning it over to them without realizing what they're doing. And she's blind, recently blind, only by the last during the last year, and it's actually that handicap physical challenge that enables her to see through the con and actually turn the tables on them by waiting until dark when they're at the same disadvantage she's at.
Okay, yeah, I was actually going to ask you about her blindness and how it plays into her being conned, if you will. Maybe, Lisa, you'd like to answer that question.
Sure. Like David was just saying, the huge advantage she actually has is because she's blind and, and I've been talking to a lot of blind people about this, you have to really rely on your other senses to get by. So for her, hearing, touch, obviously, she has to be a lot more observant than somebody who isn't blind is. So every little detail, every suspicious sound, she's taking note of. And she's very, very smart, so she's putting this all together as it unfolds.
Okay, yeah, I actually caught a play a couple weeks back that was Theater by the Blind.
Yeah.
And, it was actually a really interesting show at Magicopolis.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see somebody playing blind because I've seen the real thing and they had to work through it. It was impressive, though.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. I've got a question for Dick now that I think he can answer. David mentioned that this is a Frederick Knott adaptation from the 60s, you said?
Right.
So what made you choose this particular play to run with the group rep?
Well, we were planning a season and we wanted different kinds of plays in the season. There's six plays, and we did the trip to Bountiful, which Lisa was in also, which is kind of a Texas heartwarming play. And we wanted a thriller, and this is kind of an established thriller. There was a movie with Audrey Hepburn years ago, and it was, of course, a Broadway stage play for a long time. And so we considered several different thrillers, but this one was the one that everybody agreed on that still held up very well today.
Okay, so let's see. I don't know, Lisa, I don't know how much experience you do have with the group rep, but it sounds like you're in two very, very different plays. Which one would you say you prefer?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, Texas. It's like Texas Charmer or, heroin-riddled thriller.
They're so different.
Yeah, there's not a wrong answer.
I know this is it's kind of an annoying answer, but they're really, it really is apples and oranges. It would be so hard to compare them because the characters and the plays are just so different. I mean, Trip to Bountiful is really a purely character-driven piece, slice of life. Most of the scenes are just two or three people talking. And this play is very, very plot-heavy, very technical. And of course, the characters are wonderful and very complex and fully developed people, but it is very much about the plot as well. And it's just, I mean, it's really hard to compare. Although I will say that just simply for the challenge, you know, this has been really great to work on playing somebody who's blind. Obviously, I mean, that's a huge challenge.
Okay, you mentioned that this play is more plot-heavy than it is character-driven. Now, what exactly did you mean by that? Now, either any three of you can jump in on this one, but how can a play be plot-heavy and not character-driven necessarily?
Well, I think what Lisa was trying to convey is that Bountiful is not primarily about the story, but about the insight into the hearts of these characters. And the story is, like she said, a slice of life. It could be, you know, it's an important day in their life, but it's not about how that day unfolds. It's about who they are as they take that journey. Whereas this play is very much about the specifics of what this character did as it relates to that, and if someone hadn't removed the doll from the apartment without people knowing, it all falls apart. So it's very much about a chess match. This character does this, which is countered by that, which is interrelated with the other, and therefore it's very, very intricate. In terms of the plotting and how the story evolves, and an audience has to pay very, very close attention to each little detail to make it all add up.
Okay, now that I've already got you on a roll here, David, this play was a Broadway play. It was a film with Aubrey Hepburn as Dick mentioned. How do you choose to present your rendition of this narrative? Would you say that you're heavily influenced by the productions that already exist, or are you trying to take it in your own direction?
Not at all. I mean, I think, you know, to give due, Lee Remick, who originated Susie Hendricks, got a Tony Award nomination for as Best Actress in 1966 when she did the role. Audrey Hepburn was nominated as Best Actress in 1967 for a Best Pick or Best Actress Oscar. She didn't win that year, but actually Katharine Hepburn won that year for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And it was her fifth of five nominations. So it is a role that actresses can really, really sink their teeth into and make their own. And I think the reason Lee Remick was successful with it, Audrey Hepburn didn't try to recreate what Lee Remick had done. And Lisa, and there's so much there that you bring your own life experience to it and delve into it. There's no thought of trying to reproduce anything that's been done before, but it's so intricately plotted that you have to stick to the blueprint. And if you wander off the blueprint, you're in big trouble. But within the blueprint, there's a lot of freedom and room for creativity.
Don't worry about the Lisa or the Lisas, Tony. Don't worry about the Tonys, Lisa. You're on my show. That makes you a winner.
But, thank you.
David was speaking a little bit on your behalf when he said that every actress that plays this role brings a little bit of themselves into it. How have you brought Lisa DeVere, now that I know how to say your name, into this role?
Well, you know, you can't help but do that. Every actor is just really different. So it's the reason why, you know, 100 people can play Hamlet, and it's always going to be different, even though it's the same text. If you start going down the road of, oh, how am I going to do this like this famous, amazing actress did it, you just shoot yourself in the foot, because you can't. You're not that person. And I think that you bring yourself to every role that you do, and that's where you start. And there's just, you know, there's so much to her. Like David was saying, it's a really beautifully written, very human character with a lot of complexity. And you know, and you just start somewhere and dive in and you keep finding things at every rehearsal, and you just keep playing.
Okay, so this might be a question for the whole group then, but many of your audience members will have these other renditions of Wait Until Dark in their minds, and clearly this one's going to be much different. So how would you like audience members to, you know, really think and feel about your play once they walk out of there?
Well, hopefully it's been a while since they've seen it.
Hopefully they don't watch the movie the night before they come to our show.
So they are probably not coming with, you know, an intense memory of it. They haven't just seen the movie and didn't just come out. And I doubt people can remember from 40 years ago, 50 years ago, exactly what a performance was like. They'll remember the actress and kind of know who she was, but they won't be coming in to see a Lee Remick or a Audrey Hepburn portrayal. I really think this play will play almost new to them. I could be wrong, but they'll know what it is about, basically, but the intricacies of it. It's such a intricate working out of the situation, because as Lisa pointed out, she's a bright woman, and so her dialogue is bright, and her working out of the situation is, she's as Connie as they are, the ones that she's fighting. You don't realize that at first. You think she's just reactionary and just reacting to what's happening, but as you watch it, you realize that she's inventing as much as they're inventing.
Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting. I can't wait to see it myself. But let's see, where was I? How long's the play been in preparation up to this point?
In rehearsal?
Yeah, rehearsal. Excuse me. I was fishing for words.
You do prepare too.
I think we've been at least a full 4 weeks at this point.
Yeah, I think a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and is that average for most plays that the group rep puts on? Or?
Yes. Somewhere between 6 and 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. You actually begin casting and things before that. So.
But by the time we open, we will have rehearsed for 5 weeks plus a week of tech. And that's pretty standard for a straight play, you know, like this is.
Okay, because I do like to get a little behind the scenes and, you know, get a gist for what the community putting this play on is like. So naturally, I won't get to meet very many of these cast members until I actually see the show. But I just wanna ask you guys like a basic question, like, what was it like working with this team? For any of you?
Well.
Good, bad, happy, sad.
I'm lucky in the sense that I get to pick the team. So, you know, I get to cast the show. They come, lots and lots of people come and audition. We had some really, really talented actresses audition for Susie. And Lisa happened to be the most amazing of the group, and I feel very blessed to have her as Susie Hendricks. I've got a really, really strong cast from top to bottom, but and given the fact that I've been professionally directing since 1977 or 78 or so, I've had a lot of experience, so I cast to some degree intuitively. I mean, I it's important to me to get a feeling for what is this person going to be like working with, and over the years I've gotten good at putting together casts that work well together and that come together as a family. I like to talk about, I believe in drama without trauma. And so, you know, prima donnas need not apply, if you will. And, you know, in the case of Susie, she's got the role. I mean, there's not one scene in the whole show she's not in, and she carries a major part of it. But Lisa is a real, real amazing team player, and I think her fellow actors and actresses really look up to her, and she set the standard in terms of getting off book more quickly than everybody else, even though she had the heaviest line load, and she's been a real leader.
Thank you, David.
Did you, Lisa? Did you feel like you really had to step up to the plate for this one?
Yes. Definitely. And I wanted to. I mean, I think that in some ways, you know, even though, you know, like David was saying, I'm on stage for most of the show, you know, every character in this play is so vitally important to the story. And, you know, and as, you know, you've often heard, you can't act in a vacuum. It's a, you know, it's a contact sport. So it's really, really important that we're all in it together, that we all have each other's backs. And you know, I really try my best to bring that approach to everything I do, because otherwise it should be fun. We should all love going to rehearsal and love doing it. And like David said, when there's ego involved, when there's prima donnas involved, it can get very, very, you know, tedious and not so fun. So,
yeah, it sounds like this was a pretty dynamic and challenging role for you. I'm not terribly familiar with the other roles that you've had, but what would you say that playing Susie Hendrix has lent to your acting career? Because I imagine you have grown through this role and leading other actors as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I think you do grow with every role you work on, because you find new things out about a person. It gives you a different sense of empathy. And this certainly, you know, I've been lucky enough to spend some time at the Braille Institute and just have met some of the most amazing people who are blind or visually impaired. And it's given me, this is going to sound so silly, but, you know, you really take for granted that you can see. And you meet these people who have had to adopt this whole new way of living, and, you know, and it's just, I have so much respect for that. And this has been great, particularly in, you know, I can't rely on looking any of my fellow actors in the eye. I can't connect with them that way. And that's been a really interesting challenge. I have to find different ways to connect with my fellow actors. And I've never had that experience before.
I think Frederick Knott was very smart when he wrote it. He wrote her recently blind.
Exactly.
So that she has to discover for herself how to do certain things. She has to feel her way around the set. She has to I don't know.
She has to adapt to
yes.
her situation.
And she does know what things looked like when she was younger. She had an accident, I believe, didn't
mm-hmm.
she?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes her reaching out and discovering her own power at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which is an interesting facet. She's not a person who's been blind her whole life.
Right.
And well adjusted to it at that point. She's
mm-hmm.
not very well adjusted to her blindness. And it is also a very heavy set show. There are just 3 zillion props. I have never seen a prop list like that in my life. And I've done a lot of musicals with, you know, multi-sets and stuff, and this is just outrageous in the number of props. And the set is multi-leveled. You come in up higher, and you come downstairs, and there's a behind-the-kitchen section. There's a whole walkway that you see people walking. She has a basement apartment, and so you see people walking by the window. It's really incredible.
It sounds interesting, but I hate to say it, we're getting to that point in the show where I'd like you to plug your own. Go ahead and let listeners know where they can catch this.
Oh, I was thinking about that. Where does this all take place? It's the group rep at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, which is on Burbank Boulevard, just east, a couple of blocks east of Vineland Avenue in North Hollywood, in the NoHo section of the Valley.
Okay. When is it running and for how long?
We open on April 1st. That's a week from Friday, a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
And it runs for 6 weeks till May 8th.
Yep. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2.
2 p.m., yeah.
General admission being $22. Those seniors and students with ID can get in for $17. And for more information or to purchase tickets, go ahead and visit www.thegrouprep.com.
One thing I'd like to mention is that we had a subscription drive, and we sold a lot of subscriptions to our theater. And we're still the tickets are $60 for six productions, which is $10 a production. We are still selling those subscriptions for $50 now because we have five shows left in the season. So if you buy a subscription at this point, you pay $50, but you get five admissions to five different shows.
Okay, well, listeners, keep that in mind. All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate having the three of you on my show. Once again, this was Spotlight on KPCRadio.com. I'm always Travis Vail, and I was very, very happy to have Dick Woody, Lisa DeVeard, and David Caldwell in with me today. Say goodbye, guys.
Thanks,
thank
Travis.
You.
Thank you.
Right,
thank you.